Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth taking you through this Friday morning, reacting to a 34-17 loss for the Titans last night against the Indianapolis Colts. And Joe, a lot of people wondering right now, Titans 6-3 on the season, second place in the AFC South. What does this mean for the Titans as they move forward here? A tough loss last night, an ugly loss last night, and I think some holes that have been there for quite some time for the Titans exposed in a big way last night. As you evaluate where this team is and take into account everything that we've seen so far through nine games, injuries, the offense, and maybe the offense not being at the same level right now that we're used to seeing from them, how concerned are you if you're a Titans fan moving forward here about the long-term prognosis of this group this season?
You're concerned, and this means that the Titans had a chance to really kind of retake control. They had that early two-game lead in the two-game in the loss column when they were 5-0, but really set themselves up to win the division for the first time since 2008. The Colts haven't won it, by the way, since, real quick, trivia.
I'm going to say 2015.
14, which I was a little bit surprised by, but 2008, this is the year the Titans need to win the division. And they had a chance to be in great shape. And what this means to me is that they're going to be in a fight to the end for it. I am not coming away from last night, and I think some people probably are. The Colts kicked their butts on that field. The Colts are going to run away with it. I don't buy that. And the Colts have the Packers next. We'll see how they do with that. They have the Titans after that. That's a game the Titans have to get. They've got to get it. But the Colts also go to play the Raiders. They go to play the Steelers. They've got losses ahead on their schedule. Titans also have the Packers. I mean, if you look at the schedules, if the Titans go get that game in Indy and get the split, I still give them the edge to win this division. It's why I've already called the shot today. I still think they're going to win the division. But are there concerns? Yeah, there's some stuff they've got to fix for that to be possible. Some of it is getting people back healthy. I mean, I think Adoree Jackson is going to matter whenever he's ready. Adam Humphries was missed the last two games. But they've, first of all, I mean, I think you have to start with the kicking game right now. It was so bad last night. They've got to figure out something more than, please come back soon, Brett Kern.
Yeah, I mean, it was a total disaster. And the thing I take away from last night, both in terms of the record you want to throw out there, but also I think some habits that we've seen all year long. I mean, their margin for error is gone. I mean, it's totally gone to me. And that's not only from a record standpoint. I mean, you start 5-0, you build up some good cushion in this league. You've lost three of the last four. You're 6-3. They flashed it up on the Good Morning Football screen here in the studio earlier in the show. The Titans are right now, they're right in the thick of it in the AFC with the Raiders, the Dolphins are there, the Browns are at 5-3. I mean, there's some huge games coming up for the Titans that could affect the playoffs. Like, there's a chance they may not make the playoffs right now, which is crazy to think about after they start 5-0. I mean, they're flashing it right now. I mean, there's a whole lot of teams right there at 5-3, 6-3, 6-2 that they're going to have to deal with. And they play one next week, by the way, in Baltimore that's currently at 6-2. So the margin for error from a record standpoint is gone. But probably the more concerning thing to me is, look, I think we've known what this defense is for a while now. it's not very good. The special teams, for a while now, hasn't been very good. The one saving grace of this team has been their offense has been elite. They've had an elite-level offense, and that has masked a lot of deficiencies with this group. And I think we've seen enough at this point without Taylor Lewan to call it what it is. The offense without Taylor Lewan, it's not elite. I mean, they've gone up against some really good defenses. They struggled against Pittsburgh in the first half. They struggled a lot of the game against Chicago to move the ball. They even struggled to finish drives against Cincinnati and then struggled again last night against Indy, 17 points in the game. Their offense is not close to the same level that it was to begin the season. And if it's not going to be close to that as they move forward here, it's going to be really difficult for this team to win based on the other two components of what we're seeing on defense and special teams.
Yeah, and the Titans take that as like a insult on Tyson Brailoe, who, by the way, Pro Football Focus, he was one of their top graded players from last night. But I think he's done really well considering he's a guy who was picked up in the offseason as a backup. That's a tough spot. It's not that he's the problem, but of course you're going to lose something. You're going to have to compensate. And I think you're affecting your quarterback knowing that Taylor Lewan's not on the field. So there's still an effect there that doesn't have to be Tyson Brailoe's a problem. I don't think that. He's done a heck of a job under the circumstances, but it has changed the makeup of the offense. And go back and watch them in the first few weeks. How many times Tannehill had a clean pocket and stood in there and stood in there and stood in there, and eventually you can't cover everybody. And now I feel like there are predetermined throws, there are quick throws, there are two guys going out, and the pocket is closing in fast on them. And it's not all Lewan's loss, but when you take out a piece like that, there's going to be a domino effect.
Go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Kyle from Franklin texts in, says, I've said it all year, this team isn't good. I think they end the year 7-9. They're the best bad team in football. Luckily, their first three games were against awful teams. Anytime they play a team with any sort of offense, they're in trouble.
Or defense.
Yeah.
I mean, they haven't been able to move the ball with any consistency against the Steelers,
yeah,
against the Bears, now the Colts. I mean, big picture for me, you bring up the defense, Robbie. My biggest concern is that the defense, at the end of the day, is going to be the reason why they will waste a season within the prime of Tannehill and Henry.
Yeah.
That they may not win the division now because of what happened last night and what could happen 2 weeks from now. And if they don't win the division, they're probably playing, what, the Chiefs? The Steelers?
If they get in.
Yeah. And you could be looking at a really quick playoff appearance with a quarterback that we think is really, really, really good and the best running back in the NFL. That may not be the best running back in the NFL for, you know, the next, you know, 2 or 3 years, yeah, from now, probably take a step back. So that's my biggest concern, is that they are completely wasting what could have been on offense.
And three of these past four games, Derrick Henry, to me, has been wasted, you know,
yeah,
because of situation, because of score.
Like last night, he was awesome.
Oh, he was great. He was, I don't know what his PFF rating was, but it better be high because he was a monster. And, you know, people look at the numbers, whatever, 103 yards, but he could have had a huge number. Could have had a huge number against the Steelers. Sorry, I keep cutting you off.
That's fine. Only finishes with 19 carries. And that's because, I mean, between the special teams disaster and the defense not being able to get off the field at times on fourth down, I mean, at what point the Colts doubled up the Titans in plays. I mean, they had like 60 plays to 30. I mean, at that point, Derrick Henry's on the sideline because you got to throw the ball, try to get back in the game. And you said earlier, you know, if things go well in that game and it's close or maybe you have the lead, that's a 200-yard game from Derrick Henry last night. I thought he was awesome. But, again, to your point, similar to Cincinnati, I think they wasted him in that game. Let's go to Twitter. James on Twitter says, after the 5-0 start, they're legit in danger of missing the playoffs. It's entirely possible that they get swept by the AFC North, Green Bay, and the Colts, and split with the Texans and Jags. That's potentially 7-9. Now, I don't know if I'm willing to go splitting with the Jags at this point based on what I've seen, but all of a sudden, the schedule there's some challenges there with the way this defense and special teams has just been trending the entire season.
Will they ever win again? That is my question for you. Here's a formula.
Yes, they will.
I don't like them in Baltimore. I do like them in a rematch here. So I think that's reasonable. You get to 7-4. The Browns game is huge because that's you're also competing with them for a spot. I think you can get to 8-4. I think you can get to 9-4 with the Jags and 10-4 with the Lions. And then, you know, you got the Packers and Texans. I mean, I still see a path for them here. I took the under, you know, on the 10.5. I switched to the under, but there's still a path here, a reasonable path to 11-5. It involves going up to Indy and getting that job done. But I think they'll have their best that day after the way this went down. The thing about this game is, as bad as it all was, and we know they have the warts we've all talked about today, I don't think if you're a Titans player, you come away from that game being honest with yourself. Everybody always says, well, it wasn't them, it was us. But being honest with yourself, I don't think you come away from that game saying, we can't handle those guys. I really don't think so. I'm not saying that we're going to win for sure, but you go in and don't screw up what they screwed up last night.
Yeah.
You have a chance to beat the Colts.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texture that says, stop calling Tannehill good. He was disguised behind a great offensive line, elite running back, and when you take that away, he sucks. Another Jared Goff.
Good God. Okay. I mean, look, I understand overreactions happen after stuff like this, but, I mean, if that's your analysis of Tannehill right now, then I really don't think you've been watching him. He was not good in the second half last night. He has not been as good recently. He's not been elite MVP level quarterback that he was for the first 16 games of his tenure. 16 games, a whole season of elite Mahomes numbers. Come on. I mean, let's be real here. He hasn't been as good lately. All of a sudden he sucks now? Come on.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Brad text in, Floyd Reese says early on the good teams don't know they're good and bad teams don't know they're bad. The Titans are showing themselves to be a bad team. Tannehill's okay, but he's incapable of putting the team on his back like the elite quarterbacks. A lot of people losing faith on Ryan Tannehill today.
Yeah. Well, saying something like that is, I mean, that's reasonable. You know, he's not the absolute top tier who can just take a team and drag them with him, like an Aaron Rodgers seems to be able to do, right?
But did he not put the team on his back on multiple fourth quarter drives earlier in the season to win a game?
He did.
Multiple games?
Yeah,
he did. I don't know if that's the same thing as taking a group that is hopeless otherwise. Maybe that's what they're saying. I mean, Marcus Mariota had a lot of fourth quarter drives, whether people want to admit it or not.
Yeah,
he did.
He sucks.
Thank you.
I'm just saying, like that. If that's the standard, you know, I mean, I think there's more than that that you want.
Valid.
But, yeah, well, the overreaction on Tannehill, I guess it's not all that unpredictable.
When we come back, is it time to hit the panic button on this Titans offense that we've seen four games now without Taylor Lewan? We'll discuss that on the other side of the break. First, tune into this weekend's NFL Game of the Week on 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue and Gary Force Acura. This Sunday's NFL Game of the Week is the San Francisco 49ers taking on the red-hot New Orleans Saints. Coverage begins at 3 p.m. with a 3:25 p.m. kickoff. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Third down and 11. Tannehill throws and it is dropped. A.J. Brown had it for a moment, lost it.
Yeah, Ryan, what's going on with the drops with the receivers? Obviously, A.J. had a big one today, had another one. Corey had a couple last week. It seems like it's really starting to kill some of these drives.
Yeah, it's been, you know, all types of different things, you know, whether it's drop or it's a throw, a missed block. It's never one thing or one person. But when you add the things up, you're killing drives, you're stalling out, you're not scoring points.
That was Titans quarterback Ryan Tannehill on the offensive struggles last night and recently for the Titans that have plagued them. And that was the case once again last night. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth taking you through this Friday morning. Joe, I'm concerned about the offense based on the lack of production that we've seen the last four games without Lewan in there. They just don't look the same. And you mentioned there's been a lot of two-man routes out there in terms of trying to keep people in and hang in there in protection and give Ryan Tannehill time to throw. But you can tell whether it's, you know, not having enough options out there, the clock speeding up in his head, maybe a combination of all these different things. Ryan Tannehill looks different out there right now. I mean, he hasn't been horrible, but it just doesn't look the same out there with Tannehill and this offense as a whole. And as I mentioned, when you factor that in with everything else that's been wrong with this Titans team for a while, that is not a good recipe for success going down the stretch here.
Yeah, for all this said, because you think back on some of these recent games, certainly there's a big step down. There's a big step up in competition. There's a big step down losing Lewan. You know, even in that Steelers game, they got 24 and they're driving. They almost get to 31 on a pass to Corey Davis on that Steelers D, right? They miss it. Your buddy Gostkowski misses the field goal.
Shocker.
The Bengals game was a total frustration of Tannehill with a pick that's just like out of the blue. Where did that come from? I mean, last night it's 27-17 after all that stuff happened. You know, it's the offense has barely touched the ball in the second half at that point. It's 27-17. They're in huge trouble. They go on a 10-play, 63-yard drive. No, let me make sure. No, they go on a 12-play. This is back-to-back drives in the second half with that 12-play, 47, 10-play, 63. One of them was on downs on a bad Tannehill pass. But on this play, this is the missed field goal. I mean, they're driving. They are running the ball. Tannehill's making a couple good throws on the drive. They get the holding call on Nate Davis. It's a drive killer. I mean,
was a good call, by the way.
Yeah, no, it was. And actually, I think it had something to do with the play, too. Henry probably doesn't get – Henry gets like 6 instead of 10 if he doesn't do that, right? Probably. Like, he probably gets in his way. But, okay, if he gets 6 on that play, you're still in good shape, and you might be moving in to make it 27-24. But, hey, you don't. You have a hold. You can't convert. Gostkowski misses. And you look at their drives last night, and most of them were productive, you know, 6-play or more drives. So it's not like they weren't doing some good things. But then if you miss a field goal, if you blow it when you have 2nd and 1, and then when Tannehill, you know, just misses an open guy, and he missed a couple open guys,
yeah,
which is just weird to see. I mean, it's not like he's been perfect when he was playing better, but he looked a lot more during his tenure, like the first drive of last night, than he did for a lot of the rest of the game.
Let's go back to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Fred texts in, Tannehill would be a lot better if dudes would catch passes that hit them directly in the hands and not drop half of the balls every game, or if your elite number one wide receiver, A.J. Brown, would catch more than one ball in a game, especially a wide-open deep one that hit him in the hands.
What's the name of there?
Fred.
Another burner. Another burner. No, you're absolutely right. Hey, A.J. Brown, we've been talking him up, and he was a big part of that last night because Tannehill, first drive. Oh, and by the way, second drive, there's a perfect pass for a touchdown to make it 14-0, and yeah, he drops it. Tannehill, as the game went on, the situation got worse. You know how it is. I mean, if you're all of a sudden down double figures and the other team knows it and they know what you're doing, what are they doing? Those pass rushers now are just
teeing off. Yeah.
Yeah. And he, it affected him. Not saying it should have affected Tannehill, but the drops thing is interesting and it's totally new. I mean, they had one of the lowest drop rates in the NFL, I think, over the first 8 games.
Yeah.
Or 7 games. And now all of a sudden, I'd like to see. I'll try to look up where they are now, but it's getting worse fast.
Yeah, I mean, that's a problem. You got to catch the ball. Like, Corey Davis caught every ball that was thrown his way last night. Firkser, I know there was some tight coverage on him. There was one play in particular. I thought he dropped the ball. Got to go in there and make the catch. That was a problem against Chicago as well. A.J. Brown drops the ball at least twice. You were saying maybe 3 times last night. Like, that can't happen.
Yeah, I thought he had 3. I could be wrong. But he definitely had the other one late. Not an easy play, and he was grabbed in the face mask.
Yeah.
Both hands.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Sam texts in, if only we had a first-round tackle to help protect Tannehill during all this. I thought there was a chance last night that maybe he was going to be active. I saw a video of him warming up.
Yep.
He was going up against the sled, and I was like, oh, man, look at him. Looks pretty good out there. But Isaiah Wilson, inactive once again for the Titans last night. 9 games in.
Yeah, and at some point, just the reality of this league dictates that they're going to need him to be active to give them depth. But, man, you look at this team and its struggles and some of the holes that we didn't know that would be there, and imagine if they could go back and make a different pick in the first round of the draft.
Yeah.
A player who could really be mattering right now and filling one of those holes.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ben texts in, we can't rely on Ryan defense, receivers, coaching, tight ends, or kicking from a week-to-week basis. Add in the offensive line with the Luan injury. Only Derrick Henry shows up every week, and sometimes he's irrelevant because the rest of the team doesn't show up. This team takes turns laying down, and that's an indictment on Vrabel and John Robinson.
Vrabel. Attack on Vrabel. Has anyone blown any sunshine today? Would you say?
Not a whole lot of sunshine blowing going out there today.
I mean, that's a tough. If you can blow sunshine on a day like today.
I mean, you did.
You've blown a little bit of sunshine.
A little bit. They're still going to win the division.
I did. I think I call that perspective, but you can call that sunshine blowing if you want.
Maybe a combination.
Little zippity-doo-dah going through my head.
I don't know how after last night you can still be confident about the Indy game in a couple weeks.
It's a gut feeling.
Okay.
Now, I had a gut feeling they were going to win last night, so you know, you can certainly question my gut and make fun of my gut. But
we would never.
I really we'll see. We'll see how they respond in Baltimore and how they look. You know, do they have Adoree Jackson back? Do they have Adam Humphries back? Some of that matters too. I think this time off will be good for Saffold. The guy's had a shoulder and an ankle in a span of 4 days.
Yeah.
I think this team puts its absolute best game together for that game. And you see that a lot of times in this league. They did it last year. They figured it out and they ran away with that game. I know that was Jacoby Brissett, but I think they've got it in them. We'll see.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Nate texts in, Robbie will probably feel better at first if Gostkowski was cut, but how will he feel when the Titans can't make a kick with the new kicker?
How will you feel, Robbie?
I'll feel the same way I feel right now. They can't make a kick right now. What's the difference?
They made a 50-yarder last night.
That's great.
But they can't make a kick. They made a kick.
What goes through your mind right now when they're about to attempt a field goal, when Gostkowski walks out there? Because if you're like most Titans fans, and if you're like me, the first thing you think of is, oh, this is going to be good. This is not going to go well.
Yeah.
And typically it doesn't.
Yeah, there's a sense of nervousness around every time he walks out there. I don't think it helps if we're going to go back to ripping Vrabel. You know, I don't think it helps that all of a sudden he's got a different – again, you're doing like a Rubik's Cube with the operation here. You know, you moved on from Bo Brinkley, okay, but you're going to switch out the holder who had been his holder for a long time, which is kind of a nice situation. Guy who punted great Sunday.
Yeah, that doesn't happen a whole lot where you can luck into a situation where your punter goes down, he's been holding for Gostkowski all year, and you can find somebody on the street – who has experience both punting and holding for Gostkowski. That doesn't happen very often.
And then you say, nah.
Just walk away from it.
Let me call this FedEx driver up and see what he can do.
Let me bring up something last night that I don't know if it had any impact at all. It probably didn't on Gostkowski missing that field goal in the fourth quarter. But when he made the first one, did you guys notice that there was a Colts player that kind of roughed him?
Yeah.
Like, or at least ran into him.
Yeah.
And they showed Gostkowski on the sideline not too happy about that.
Yeah.
I don't know if he was affected by that at all because he kind of ran into his lower half. I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there.
It didn't look like much.
Robbie's not buying it, man.
There's
not buying it.
There's no
weird
excuse. I'm not taking any excuses from this dude.
I'm not making an excuse for him. I'm just throwing that.
Now, it was weird that, like, no flag was thrown on that play.
Sure.
Because he did, I mean, running into the kicker. That's a thing. He ran directly into the kicker.
He definitely wasn't blocked into him at all?
No.
No. And
it was free run.
It looked like accidentally on purpose.
Yeah. Hmm. Which, what do you need to hit this guy for? Just let him kick.
Well, he made a 50-yarder.
Okay. Joe Rexford loves Steven Gostkowski.
Hey,
Steven Gostkowski is going to kick the game-winning field goal for the Titans in the Super Bowl. Are you ready for it?
I mean, that would be at least his fourth of the year.
Thank you.
Giving you facts.
Yes, it would. When we come back, speaking of the Vrabel discussion, how much blame does Vrabel deserve for this game last night and what transpired with the Titans, particularly on special teams. We'll discuss that coming up next. But first, week 10 of your favorite game, Silly Underdog Picks, is now open. Make your picks of the three college or pro football underdogs that you think will win before the college football games begin tomorrow. This week, the weekly winner will receive a Burger Republic gift card. Just hit up thegamenashville.com or the ESPN The Game Nashville mobile app and sign up to make your picks today. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth taking you through this Friday morning, reacting to a 34-17 loss last night but for the Titans against the Colts. Titans fall to 6-3. They are now second place in the AFC South. Quickly, let's go back to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texture that says, what's the definition of insanity, Rex Road? Now apply that same argument for the kicking game.
Well, it's doing the same thing over and over and expecting the same result. And let me...
Expecting a different result.
Yes, thank you. Doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. So let me apply that to, let's keep trying out different kickers and hope one of them works out. Because you could say that's part of insanity as well. So I'm just saying it's a difficult
situation.
They haven't
tried out any different kickers this year. What are you talking about?
That's true. It's
a different year.
They've tried out a lot of different kickers who are amazing this year with other teams.
Last year has no bearing on this year.
Is that right?
Who do I sound like?
Mike Vrabel?
Yeah.
That was pretty good.
Thank you.
Got to coach better, got to play better.
Yeah. Speaking of Mike Vrabel, how much blame do we think he deserves for what happened last night? And I'm approaching that from this angle. I've said a couple times here on the show, I think coaches sometimes overthink what's happening out there. And Ryan Allen, I thought, did a great job of coming in last week and punting for the Titans in a tough situation. Obviously, look, we all know how Brett Kern is. I've joked about Brett Kern being the best player in the league. He's not the best player in the league. But I do think he is incredible at what he does. And the Titans just haven't had to worry about that position in like a decade. Like, it's been a long time since they've had to worry about who's going to punt. Brett Kern's amazing. But he goes down. He's not able to go last week. Ryan Allen, given the circumstances, I thought came in, did a really good job. He averaged 50 yards a punt. Yeah. Was it perfect? No. There were a couple times where they almost got the punt blocked. Probably his hang time could have been better, especially up against a team like Chicago who's good in the return game. But the Titans did a fine job of handling that. Anyway, Ryan Allen was good. And then all of a sudden you make a decision this week to go with a different punter, a guy who's been driving for FedEx. Bring him in, have him punt, have him hold for your kicker. I thought this was a classic case of maybe Mike Vrabel and this coaching staff way overthinking a problem that wasn't there, and now they've created a problem that bit them in a huge way last night.
I agree. I don't see how you could look at it any other way. It's a decision that, you know, Vrabel talks at 10:30. I'm sure he's not going to sit there and say, you know, I regret the decision. He didn't say a lot of specifics about it other than basically that it was determined in practice. Of course, they didn't have much practice last week. But I think the tiebreaker for me in this, like you said, first of all, Ryan Allen, I thought, did a really good job. You know, the net was 40, so he had a couple liners in there, and you liked more hang time, but he also had some bombs, and he averaged 50.5, and it was pretty good. But the tiebreaker for me is the holding situation. I mean, we hear all the time about how important those three people are to each other, snapper, holder, kicker. And you got a guy who has done it with Gostkowski in the past at New England, and it just works out beautifully for you, you know? And you have this short week, and I just think it was that's a gamble to me that they took, and obviously it blew up. No, it's very easy when things don't work out to say, oh, that was terrible. Hey, I will say this. I mean, honestly, when the game started, they had a new punter. I mean, it's not like I saw anyone, including myself, raging about it. Like, what are you doing? But still, I was curious. Did you?
I thought to myself, wow. And this is purely from something that has nothing to do with what actually happened. But wow, putting the game in the hands of a Tennessee Vol.
Yeah.
Interesting to do right
now.
You
got the Vol angle on it. Right. So, but I mean, it was curious. And look, if something like this blows up in your face, that's There you go.
Yeah.
Yes, you screwed it up. I mean, I don't know any other way to look at it. It was a gamble, and I'm trying to understand. I'm sure Trevor Daniel punted great in practice.
Yeah.
But a guy who hasn't been in the league, hasn't been punting in the NFL, and you're putting him on a primetime game under that kind of pressure.
A huge game.
The game of the year. You know, it was already dicey enough to hope Ryan Allen could do the job for you a few days earlier. He did. I mean, he did the job. He did it pretty darn well. Not Brett Kern, but pretty darn well. And now you're like, let me shake it up again. Give me those die.
Just didn't make a whole lot of sense. And Vrabel was asked about it after the game. The decision going into this game to switch from Ryan Allen to Trevor Daniel. Here's what Mike Vrabel had to say after the game.
Mike, can you talk about what went into the decision to switch punters for this game, and then also how much of a momentum shift occurred with those two back-to-back punt errors?
The process is always, you know, what it looks like in practice and what we felt like was best for the team. And, you know, those are all the things that we look at during practice, during the week of practice and the evaluation of those guys kicking. That's the decision that we made.
So my question is, like, I understand the practice and that being an important part of the discussion, and that's, you're going to hear something like that from every single football coach who's ever lived, and I understand that. But don't, like, the results in the games, like, have to matter for something? Like, Ryan Allen has just come in a pretty tough spot for him and performed pretty well in the game. Doesn't that buy you some time? If you're a guy like Ryan Allen, that there was no disastrous mistake. It's not like he came in there and they were really close to just having this big, huge gaffe by him, or he showed signs of punting the ball off the side of his foot or something like that. Like, doesn't the performance in the game on Sunday that he had against Chicago, like, buy him some goodwill for you if you're Mike Vrabel and that coaching staff?
Well, I don't know if I look at it the way of buying him time or him goodwill. I mean, right now they're trying to find a replacement part, but I think it discourages you from gambling. You know, that's what I think it does, or should have done, is, okay, this was not perfect, but we trotted him out there 8 times. I mean, it's not like he punted a couple times and you're like, not sure. Like,
he got some
times.
Good work in.
He got a lot of work in against the Bears. Again, 50.5 average, a 40 net average. You want the net to be a little better. I think that's a little bit reflective of the hang time, but it's enough for me with a short week. How much practice did they see?
I mean, not a lot.
They had 1 day of actual practice. I mean, you know, the walkthrough day on Wednesday is what it's supposed to be, but it's not a lot. And I just think that's enough to discourage you from taking that plunge. And of course, the plunge ended up worse than I'm sure they ever could have imagined. And some of that is the blocking on the block punt. I don't put that on Daniel. But the whole thing. If anybody thinks that's not the story of the game, those two punts, I mean, you're fooling yourself.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Sam texts in, Vrabel pulled a Pruitt in picking someone because of how they perform in practice and not how they perform in the game.
Ah, we got the Vols-Titans parallels now.
I'm all about it.
Yeah.
All about it. I think that's a shot at Jared Garantano, by the way.
Yes, I would say so.
Throw that out there.
Yes.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ben texts in, compared to a few weeks ago, the door is at least cracking open slowly to possibly having a different head coach in the next 2 years. The door was shut and locked, but no more.
Well, in this league, it opens and closes quickly. It opens quickly everywhere, right?
Right.
I think that's a million miles away, but I understand people talking about it. And they were talking about it last year.
Yeah.
Does this guy really know what he's doing? 2-4. Mariota, look at this mess. No offense. It doesn't take long in this league.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jordan texts in, get ready for an even better defense next week if you're the Titans to look forward to against the Ravens.
Yep.
That'll be fun.
That's true. Well, yeah, they're better. They're better than the Colts.
I think the upside's better for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I think the Colts are very good defense. You know, those pass rushers don't get enough credit, but it's pretty good. Two good guys off the edge. Buckner, we know. Leonard. Now, their secondary, I think their secondary is good, but that's one of the top. I mean, I think both of these defenses are top five in the NFL.
Yeah.
Along with the Steelers.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Dan text in, just a curiosity thought. Is it a sentimental reason why the Titans don't move on from Gostkowski, since Vrabel and Gostkowski were both on the same Super Bowl winning team in New England? Do you think there is? You hear a lot of that from Titans fans of, this is Vrabel's boy. He's friends with him. He's not moving on from him. Do you think there's anything to that whatsoever?
Let me give you the percentage of possibility there.
Okay.
0.000000%. It's ridiculous.
You didn't even toss a .1 on the end of it.
Again, Vrabel came in here and Matt Castle, sorry, love you, man. You can't do the job, moving on. No. Now, I think it has something to do with I've seen the guy. I know how great he is. Maybe bring it in. And maybe early on when you might have moved on from someone you're not sure about. But no. Zero. I understand people bringing it up. That would be utter coaching malpractice.
Yes.
It's, man. You have to find every little edge you can scratch out to win in this league, and he is not making this decision like this because he's buddies with somebody.
When we come back, we'll get your final thoughts on the Titans and the Colts. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025 on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Also, a beautiful update coming from Porth in the next segment as well. So looking forward to that. That's next. But first, I have got a word from FanDuel. And let me tell you, Vanderbilt's game against Kentucky coming up this Saturday, as you pointed out, Joe, definitely a top three game in the SEC this weekend. But I'm about to make the stake even bigger because FanDuel Sportsbook is adding to the action with a special spread the love line boost. And what that means is for every 250 fans who bets on Vanderbilt to cover, FanDuel will move the point spread by 1 point in Vandy's favor. So as long as we keep betting, the more points Vanderbilt keeps getting. And best of all, FanDuel will pay you based on whatever the line is at kickoff, so you don't have to wait to get in on the action. So for an example of that, last year in the NBA, the Bucks were taking on the 76ers. The Sixers opened at +8.5, and they ended up at +59.5. So that is quite the healthy margin for error there. That's basically giving away money there from FanDuel. So if you already have a FanDuel Sportsbook account, just look for the Spread the Love market to place your bet. And if you've been holding out, what are you waiting on? Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to get started. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Must wager in designated crowdfunding market. Max wager is $50 and the payout is at -110. Gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5. The game, Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth taking you through this Friday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. And Porth, I toss it over to you. Another beautiful update coming from the beautiful words of Ryan Porth. I enjoyed it so much yesterday. I enjoyed it about an hour ago at this time today. And I'm very much looking forward to our Masters update right now from Ryan Porth.
So round two is now underway in Augusta, Georgia, after round one concluded earlier this hour.
Yes.
So they have just gone from round one right into round two.
Yes.
In Augusta, Georgia. We have a tie atop the leaderboard with Dustin Johnson and Paul Casey at 7-under. Dustin Johnson has already started round two after he ended round one like 20 minutes ago.
Dustin Johnson, fun fact, the, I guess, husband, boyfriend, Wayne Gretzky's daughter, Paulina.
I was about to say, I thought that was Paulina.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So, Dustin Johnson, Paul Casey tied at 7-under. Some big names on the leaderboard beyond those two. Justin Thomas and Justin Rose, both at 5-under. Phil Mickelson, having a big morning already, at 4-under, tied alongside Tiger Woods at 4-under. Tiger Woods will tee off at 1:30 this afternoon.
That's good.
Central time, not 2:30 Eastern, which it is in Augusta, Georgia.
Yes.
This Masters leaderboard update brought to you by Music City Golf and Bell Mead, your home for all your golfing needs.
Thank you, Borth. Appreciate it.
That's kind of bad for the 2 hours on sleep guy.
Yeah.
I very nearly took a nap, but it was beautiful.
It's always beautiful.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, I should have changed it up and put some, you know, Foo Fighters in the background there.
Yeah, some Rage.
Dustin Johnson at the top of the leaderboard.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Taking your final thoughts on the Titans and the Colts last night, 615-737-1025. Kevin text in, the Titans will soon be 6-5 and not make the playoffs. Kevin from Clarksville with that text.
Doom and gloomers rule the
day. They are ruling the day today. It's hard to blame them.
They could be 6-5. Yeah. Yeah, you can't feel great about things right now, about your team. They could be 6-5, and they could be 6-5 and still absolutely end up 10-6.
Yeah.
I think that would get them in the playoffs.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texture that says, I bet with Tannehill using his legs on some run plays, that would open things up for everyone. What do you guys think?
I don't think you want to get him hit any more than he's getting hit. I'm not saying, I mean, it's nice for him to extend plays, but if the suggestion is get him into some design run stuff and everything, that dude cannot get hurt.
If I had confidence in him being able to slide, yes, I'd be all for it. But we've seen it. That dude, I mean, he is not going to slide. And I respect part of it because you're trying to get every yard you can. But Ryan Tannehill, he will not slide. And that makes me very uncomfortable if I'm Arthur Smith in the Titans offense.
Yep, I agree. I don't think they'd do that much of it anyway.
I don't think so either.
I mean, he extends plays, you know, for sure, which is a nice weapon, underrated part of his game.
Let's go to Twitter. Philip tweets in on Twitter, the Titans have a coaching problem. Number one, not having a defensive coordinator is a major issue. There's no game planning for the defense. And number two, the kicking game this season has been horrible, as well as the personnel decisions on special teams. And number three, the play calling, too predictable from the Titans.
Okay, a couple things of that. First of all, like, there's no game plan on defense. All football coaches do is they game plan all week. So there's game planning. You know, I agree.
It may not be going well.
No,
but there's game
right. It may not be translating or may not be going well, whatever it is. I agree that they should have hired a defensive coordinator. They will next year, I'm sure. But, I mean, there's game planning. I will say on the predictability thing, this happens now in the press box every game. When they have 2nd and 10, they will give the ball to Derrick Henry every single time. Actually worked way more last night than you would have thought, given that everyone in the press box is calling it out. But that is one element that should probably be a little bit self-scouted and changed up moving forward.
Let's revisit the poll question at 102.5 The Game on Twitter. A great poll question today, about 400 votes. So far, what was the most frustrating aspect of the Titans' special teams woes last night? Was it the 17-yard punt? Was it the block punt for the touchdown? Was it the 8th Steven Gostkowski miss? Or was it the decision to put Trevor Daniel in the first place and leave Ryan Allen out? Very close competition in this poll question. 32% say it was the 8th Gostkowski miss. 25% say Trevor Daniel coming in, Ryan Allen being out. 23% say the block punt for a touchdown, and 20% the 17-yard punt. So Gostkowski's 8th miss leading the way narrowly in that poll discussion there. But you know it's a bad night when you've got 4 different options special teams-wise. They're all not very good.
It's a great poll question, and it's rarely do you have so many good options of such a disaster. Usually there's one clear problem or you know, a source of a disaster, but this was quite a night for that kicking game.
Let's go back to Twitter. Eric on Twitter says, players and coaches change, but a lackluster game against the Colts is usually one thing you can always count on each season from the Titans.
It's hard to argue.
Is that
right?
A Ryan Porth burner account?
It's hard to argue.
Porth, do you feel a little better today? Has this been like a group therapy session for you to kind of express your feelings?
No, I'll feel better Monday.
Okay. Probably,
maybe. But
few days, huh?
Last night sucked.
It was very reminiscent of a lot of Titans-Colts games we've seen where the Colts make the plays in front of them and the Titans screw it up.
You could just tell it was going to go that way after the 17-yard punt. And
that was when the game changed.
The Colts could move the ball the entire game, even though the Titans had those 2 fourth down stops, which were clutch. But once that punt happened, I was telling myself multiple times of, oh, here we go. This is it. And it just was awful, painful.
As you speak, the replays are playing on the screen. I know. All these plays.
Right there on SportsCenter. Why can't SportsCenter just show the Masters?
Yeah. You're right, though, on that Jacoby Brissett sneak. Yeah, there's somebody who was supposed to be there who wasn't there.
It was so easy. Joe, when you go back and watch that game either today or this weekend, and you see that SkyCam view, if you haven't seen it already, it's mind-blowing that...
I think I could have scored.
And I can't remember if Aikman pointed it out when they made the quarterback switch to Brissett before the play, or if he just roasted the Titans defense after the play. But he called it, I think, in live time, if they're bringing in Brissett to run the sneak.
Did Aikman consult Tyler Lewan?
No, but he did Marcus Mariota.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I mean, hey, let's face it. Mariota.
Yeah, that's a lost cause.
Marcus may have just changed his name to Mariota.
I tweeted last night, I've given up all hope on people pronouncing Mariota correctly.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Drew texts in, you teased that beautiful update so well, Robbie. I thought that you were going to say that Ryan found out he's going to be a dad. Well,
whoa.
It was a beautiful tease.
Whoa.
Wow. All of a sudden, it's a Lifetime movie over here.
That would have been quite
things
the tease.
Just took a turn in a hurry. Titans doom and gloom, and then Ryan has a kid.
Yeah. Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Joey from Gallatin text in, after watching a guy come in from his day job to kick and do so terribly, I think it's time for me to try my luck to at least make the Titans practice squad. Who else is going to be punting for the Titans in the near future? They go back to Ryan Allen, they're going to hire pizza delivery guy.
Like I said, I got a buddy, drives for UPS, played some high school ball for Brentwood. I mean, he could. I've invited him to come out to the Titans facility. So.
I mean, I'm expecting a package at the house today. Maybe Trevor Daniels is going to be dropping that off.
I got a late called shot for you here on this Friday.
Okay.
When we come back on Monday, Steven Goskowski will not be the kicker for the Titans.
Didn't you already call that shot?
No.
Did you call that shot?
I said not. For the Indy game in Indy in 2 weeks.
Okay, so basically you guys have both called the shot against my called shot.
Yes.
Which is, my called shot is they're going to reluctantly
stick
with them.
Time to move on from Goskowski.
I tell you what, today, transaction time,
I'll be paying attention.
It's going to be an interesting time of day.
3 o'clock today. Could be a Friday news dump. Gotten rid of Goskowski. It will not be a news dump in the middle of Jared and the GM, though.
No, it will not. That's going to do it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll be back on Monday. Darren Donick and Chase coming up next. This is ESPN 102.5, The Game.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casinos, the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino.